My name is Garland Robinson. You know, there are two sides to almost everything, but the biased, prejudiced man refuses to see it. There are two sides in the matter of salvation. There's the divine side, and there's the human side. We read in 2 Timothy 2, verse 19, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." God's part cannot be overemphasized. There is no salvation without God. He must have his part. Man's part is nothing without God's part. But on the other hand, the human side should not be minimized. All that God has done is providing salvation, but man must respond. God's salvation is only offered to those who believe and obey. Man's part is essential. That is, we must realize that our salvation is hinged on both the divine side and the human side in our response to God's side. Our salvation was no afterthought with God. Before creation, we read that God formulated the scheme of our redemption. And it reads like this in Ephesians 3:11, "According to the eternal purpose of God, which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Salvation through Christ Jesus was presented in the Old Testament in shadows and types and figures. But in the New Testament, it has been revealed. In the Old Testament, it was foretold by prophets and was recounted in ancient lands and palaces. And it left no room for doubts that God would keep His promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Isaiah, for example, foretold the beginning of the kingdom of Christ in Isaiah chapter 2. Jeremiah pictured the king that should reign, Jeremiah 23 and verse 5. Daniel portrayed the crumpled ruins of dynasties of earth, with the Roman Empire being the last, and then said in Daniel 2:44, "In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." God had made the promise, and it would stand sure. God is not a man that he should lie. Numbers 23:19. In a later time, we read in Matthew 3, verse 1 and 2, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Jesus preached the same message in Matthew 4, 17, but it was even more specific. "Some of them," he said, Mark 9:1, "that stand here shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power." After Peter confessed him to be the Son of God, Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Matthew 16:18. It was on Pentecost that Peter said that Jesus had been raised to sit on the throne of David in Acts 2. The kingdom of God had been ushered in, and thousands became subjects to it on that occasion when they repented and were baptized, Acts 2:38. Paul proclaimed that saints had been delivered from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, Colossians 1:13. Thus he said, "We receive a kingdom which cannot be moved." So it was that God's promise regarding the kingdom, and he saw that it was kept, and the promise standeth sure. So, what consolation is it that the Lord knoweth them that are his? Well, Jesus promised, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven." He assures us the very hairs of our head are numbered. There is comfort and consolation in knowing God cares for us. In Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7 we read, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Jesus said in John 10:27-29, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. When Jesus, through John, addressed the churches of Asia, he said, I know thy works, in Revelation 2 and 3. There's no good thing that we can do that is not known by God. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and of our Father, 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. Therefore, we read in Galatians 4 and verse 9 that we need to realize we are known of God. So surely God knows His own, and He provides for His own, His children, in His family. But how does one enter God's family? When the first gospel sermon was given and the terms of salvation were clearly stated, we read that men were obedient to it. When they cried out in Acts 2:37, What shall we do? The response from heaven was, Repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. There were other cases of conversion to follow throughout the book of Acts, but every one of them did exactly the same thing. They heard the gospel preached, they believed it, they repented of their sins, they confessed faith in Christ, and were baptized for the forgiveness of sins. That was the new birth of water and of the Spirit of which Jesus spake with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And when they were baptized, they became new creatures in Christ. Old things became old, and new things were the way of the Lord, and that's how we should walk. So we learn that God is faithful, and the foundation of God standeth sure. So God still adds to the same church all who obey Him. The Lord knoweth them that are His. He has done His part. He died on the cross, was raised from the dead for our justification, and the blood He shed is for the remission of our sins. God has made salvation available to all men in that Jesus died for all men. Hebrews 2 and verse 9. However, there's a human side. After we've named the name of Christ, we must walk according to His way. When we have named His name, and we do that by confessing His name, we repent of our sins and are baptized, we become children of God. We read in 2 Corinthians 5:17, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So Paul said, Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. If we're baptized into Christ, then we will depart from iniquity if that baptism, our repentance and confession, is genuine and according to the Scriptures. In Romans 6 verse 4, we read, Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death. In verse 4, we read, We should walk in newness of life. In verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. That means we're walking in newness of life. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 6 and verse 11. That is emphatically stating that we must depart from sin. So that is our part. God cannot save us if we don't respond. God cannot save us unless we believe. God cannot save us unless we obey. So yes, there is God's part in salvation, but there's also man's part in salvation. We must respond. We must believe. We must obey God's will. Paul knew that he had to depart from iniquity in order to serve God. He said in Galatians 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. As Christ had died for him, Paul died to the world and lived for his Lord Jesus. But he said in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. There must be a departure from sin by all who come to Christ. Colossians 2:12, we read, buried with him by baptism, wherein also you're raised with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And what does that mean? It means, as we read in Colossians chapter 3, in verse 1 and 2, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. Paul is emphatically saying again, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Have you considered why the overwhelming portion of the New Testament teaching is to them that have already named the name of Christ? You've only to examine the Old Testament and see how often God's people fell away and how faithfully God kept his promises. God's foundation is sure. There's no doubt about that. God will do his part. But man so often returns to iniquity. Man so often leaves God and goes back to doing his own will. The plight of Israel certainly is a warning to show us that that was the case. There's no basis for doubting God's ability to save. But, on the other hand, man must respond. We read in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. The divine side stands sure. But what have you done on the human side? What are you doing to obey the gospel and to accept the salvation that is offered in Christ Jesus our Lord? As we've noticed before, that means to hear the words of the gospel. To know that God has done his part. He's willing to save, but that we have to respond. We have to believe that gospel. We have to repent of our sins, turn our life around, change our thinking, our mind. Confessing faith in Christ, we're baptized into water, and we're raised to walk a new life. That is our response. That is done in faith. That is the human side, that we might desire to be saved and to want to go to heaven. So God has a part, man has a part, and that we better be doing our part to accept what God's Word says and obey it every day of our life.